Isn't it great what God can do? God, and I'll let the man of God have a little time. So, Lord willing, from this count moving forward, that's what we're going to be doing. Amen. We love you. Take your liberty. Take your liberty.
Thank you, Bishop. Let's give God some praise. Let's really give him some praise. Without him, I can do nothing. We need him in this house. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. 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 Well, it is a great honor to be here in this camp meeting this year. And we are just Pastor Nathan and Bishop Holmes. It's been the greatest honor to have been asked to be a participant in this great conference this year. I am greatly humbled by your trust, your level of trust in me. It humbles me greatly. And we love you so very, very much. Up until just a few years ago, my precious wife and I really had not had a lot of contact with independent brethren. And we have come to the place of recognizing, I think we've been missing out. I think we've been missing out. And tremendous people of God. Tremendous people of God. And it's so good to be with you. I'd like to direct your attention here this morning to a portion of scripture in 2 Timothy. And I can get pretty wild. In fact, I might just do that anyhow. I might just do it because I can do it. When I think of all the people lying in hospital beds who can't run, jump, and shout, and you and I. Why don't we just give him a little bit more praise here right now? I'm doing this for somebody that can't do it. Hallelujah! Oh, glory! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! And sprinkled in this audience today, and this is not exaggeration or hyperbole, there are men in this sanctuary that I have considered spiritual heroes all of my spiritual existence. I'm a first-generation apostolic. I've been living for God approximately 35 years. And I've got the same heroes that I started with. I've got the same heroes that I started with. I appreciate them so very, very much. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captivity by him at his will. I would like to talk to us for a few moments this morning about Thoughts from the arena. Thoughts from the arena. Let's put our Bibles down one more time, and could we, in one great unison, lift our hands and pray together in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we give you glorious praise. God, we are so full with what we have heard and what we have received. But we are here today in rapt attention to receive more from the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Ghost is able to address every situation, every life, situations back home, situations back in local churches, situations all across the land, and release a great and a thunderous revival by the authority of the name of Jesus. We won't fail to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Let's clap our hands and give him great. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I have had a fascination with this passage of Scripture all of my walk with God. I love the pastoral epistles, as I'm sure you do as well. And this, for some reason, I am drawn to this particular passage and this tremendous situation. It wasn't until several years ago that I felt like God began to put some illumination onto this scripture so that I could begin to glean a little bit more understanding. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and don't have to rely on a bunch of commentaries from Trinitarian writers. Hallelujah. I have learned a long time ago that if I will set my face like a flint and begin to inquire from the Lord about a particular passage, that sooner or later God will begin to shine light on that and help me to get understanding. Praise God. Now, I have entitled this an arena this morning. 2 weeks ago, in preparation for this meeting, I felt very strongly that I was to talk about this. I have never ministered on this particular passage in this way, but I felt like the Holy Ghost definitely directed my thought and my spirit to this. I have entitled this scenario arrangement an arena because of the supernatural stakes that are involved. There are souls that are at stake. There are victories that are at stake. Possible eternal destinations that are in the balance that are described in this passage. In talking about this being an arena, I am not talking about something likened to the Colosseum. The Colosseum has been somewhat overrated. It was basically had become a spectacle of entertainment to Roman citizens. This is not what this is. This is a scenario, an arrangement that has weighty considerations in which the servant of the Lord must enter in and tip the balance in God's favor, in humanity's favor. Hallelujah. I believe really that there are actually other arenas or other situations that would qualify as being an arena like this, where there are supernatural entities that are involved, and there are situations that must be worked out for the here and now and in eternity. I believe that Adam was in an arena. And he walked into that with a command from God. I believe the classic arena, I believe, is the book of Job, where Job walks in with his integrity. I believe that David walked into an arena with nothing more than a slingshot and a promise from God that he would be king. I believe that Jesus, being the Word of God manifest in the flesh and driven into the wilderness, found himself in an arena. By extension, I even believe in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, when it talks about standing in the evil day, that it is talking about an arena in which we are interacting with invisible forces for an outcome, for a situation that is yet to be seen. In this particular passage, there are four separate entities that are involved, but only three are aware of the weighty considerations. Number one is the servant of the Lord, the man of God. Number two is God himself. Number three, those that oppose themselves. And number four, the devil that has taken these captive at his will. I do not believe that those that oppose themselves, which really is a spiritual idiom of people that have become prisoners of war, either because of foolish decisions in their life or sin in their life or being at odds with the pulpit or being at odds with the man of God, the enemy has been able to come in and take them captive so they are under his control. I believe that the only three entities that truly understand the gravity of this scenario is the man of God, the devil, and God. The Bible says that the servant of the Lord must not strive. The word strive is used more here than any place else in the pastoral epistles. And the apostle is instructing young Timothy, that was the first minister that we find in the Word of God that was ever called out of a blended household. His mother and his grandmother were Jewish, but his father was Gentile. He was awkward in the ministry, but his spiritual father helped him. We see in just a casual perusal of 2 Timothy chapter 2 that the apostle Paul, his spiritual father, is bringing him into an understanding that he must endure hardness as a good soldier. I want to tell you, this is not for limp-wristed people that do not have their mind made up. You're going to have to understand that we are being involved with things that we cannot see. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And you're going to have a made up mind. You're going to have it settled in your heart. Somebody clap your hands. Timothy, I want you to understand that you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. Hallelujah. Not just because of the commitment level of a soldier, but his ability and task to fight. Because in verse number 4, the apostle says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but he is to please him that has chosen him to be a soldier. And so already his spiritual father is preparing him that this is all about warfare. This is all about commitment. This is all about just getting up every day and doing it, whether you feel like it or not, whether the devil's parked in your front lawn, you just get to it and you keep walking and you keep working. The one striving that is qualified for Timothy is in verse 5, where the apostle says that we are to strive for masteries, and we will only receive a crown if we strive lawfully. Verse 14, he says, we are not to strive about with words that lends to the subverting of the hearers, that we are to shun profane and vain babblings like Hymenaeus and Philetus. And we are not to give ourselves to foolish and unlearned questions as they do gender strifes. The word there means clash, contention, and struggle, and fighting. My Lord, if I'm going to fight anybody, it ain't going to be my brother. It's going to be the devil. Oh, I've come to talk about some things today. I believe one of the biggest problems we're facing is exactly almost a duplicate of the spirit that's facing our world. It's strife, it's hatred, it's contention. Let's deal with that thing once and for all and realize my brother is not my enemy. I've got a war to fight. I've got an arena to enter. I've got a battle to live out. Oh, let's clap our hands and give him praise. The Bible has much to say about strife, especially in the book of Proverbs 15 and 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. A forward man soweth strife. An angry man stirreth up strife. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You deserve to get bit. Good and proper. But the Bible says in Proverbs 20, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. I got more to do. I'm not going to waste the energy not to like you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love on you. But I've got an arena to enter that's got significant outcome and invisible warfare. Oh, let's clap our hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, there's going to be a conflict. The Bible tells us that there's going to be a conflict. But it ought not be about the preacher. There's some things that should be kept out of the pulpit. There's some things that need to be kept out of my spirit. There's some things that need to be kept out of the church. There's some things that need to be kept out of the arena where I need to do battle. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is, Bishop, but for the last 24 years, up until recently, it seems like most of the time it's been on Sunday, but it's also happened on Saturday. And sometimes, Pastor Holmes, it starts on Friday. And I usually catch it before it gets too far. That there will be a voice, there will be an agent that comes to me and begins to talk to me about issues. And usually it's when I'm climbing in my truck to make my way to church. I haven't even got to church yet. I haven't even been able to shake a hand yet. I haven't even been able to review what staff is doing and what's going on and reviewing the service program. But there is a voice and a spirit that is trying to sabotage the Holy Ghost in my life from ministering to those that need the repentance from God. Hallelujah. Oh, I've learned I'm just not listening. Speak to the hand. I've come to learn that when you're getting attacked like that, something good's fixing to happen. Something good's about to happen. Something real good's about to happen. I have found that when my spirit's right, we've got more visitors. It's all right, Bishop. When my spirit is pure and ready for a move of God and expecting God to do something, we have more visitors. When I'm all caught up on something that doesn't matter, Oh, let's clap our hands and give God the praise. I'm trying to help us today. I'm trying to help us. We need to put to flight every agency that would disrupt the move of God and disrupt the deliverance and tipping the scales in the favor of God. Hallelujah. You better be careful being a partaker of another man's strife. You know, strife is one of those ills like a common cold. It's easy to catch. I had 24 years ago when I moved to the Northwest, I connected with a man that was a revivalist, probably one of the greatest revivalists I've ever met. And we became such tight friends that we would literally talk on the phone for hours about the things of God and about revival. And it was all faith building. It was all iron sharpening iron. There was nothing ever amiss. But what happened is my friend got involved with organizational politics. He got involved with an organizational position. And for several years, he enjoyed a position. We continued our strong and refreshing fellowship together. But around the next vote cycle, they didn't vote him in. And I slowly but surely began to detect in his voice that something was amiss. And instead of us, it got so bad that instead of talking about revival, he was talking about people in the distance. He was talking about God's people. He was talking about God's people. He was talking about how bad they done him and how much he'd like to see him almost get hurt. And I stopped him one day, and it was the end of our relationship. I said, every time I talk to you, I feel dirty. And I miss the way things used to be, but something ain't right. Hey, if you detect that, you're not hurting somebody. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. My God, somebody has got to come to their rescue and say, what happened to the purity and the sound speech? Clap your hands and give him praise. Well, you're not my friend anymore. Brothers, a true friend is always a friend. But a true friend is going to tell you because he loves you. You know what? I'm hearing something in your voice. I'm sensing something in your spirit. And it'll keep you from entering into the arena and being used of God. Oh, somebody shout and give God the praise. Oh, let's pray. God, I want clean hands. Oh, God, I want a clean heart. Oh, God, I want clean lips. I want to be used in the arena. Oh, come on, let's praise him. God bless you. You may be seated. I have found that this spirit of strife that comes to me seeks to sabotage my peace and get me off track before a move of God. It attempts to get me to view people negatively. Now, there's some people that need to be taken care of. I'm not minimizing that. There's some stinkers among us. But I let the bishops do that. And it gets me to try to view people negatively and then talk about it. The Bible says that the servant of the Lord must not strive. Adam was in the garden with a command from God. Job was in his arena with integrity. David was in his arena with a promise of kingship and a sling. Jesus was in his arena as the Word of God made flesh. But the man of God enters the arena with nothing more but his spirit and his attitude. The Bible says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Man, I love that preaching last night, Brother Alviar. That was awesome. I was right with you. It was intense. It was passionate. It was right. But when it comes to dealing with a certain class of people that need to be extricated, they need gentleness in this place. Apt to teach. Patient. I don't mean to be telling on myself so much this morning, but if you think I've got patience, I need to go pray. God bless you, Bishop. I see my pastor here today. I love him. When I got saved, I was the opposite of patience. But there's a group of people that I need to be patient with. When I enter into this arena, what is being described here is that the pastor so modifies his attitude and spirit in the Holy Ghost that he is no longer an issue. It's now God against the devil. Let's clap our hands and give God the praise. It's no longer that the pastor's got a bad attitude. I submit to you that purity of spirit and attitude of the man of God is in direct proportion of revival. And you say, well, we haven't seen our revival, and I know. Hang on, it's coming. God is not going to let that go to waste. God's going to bring him from the south. God's going to bring him from the north. God's going to bring him from the east, because he knows that chains will fall off. He knows that you'll preach him out of prison. He knows that you'll be gentle. He knows that you'll be anointed. He knows that you'll bring conviction. Hallelujah. By maintaining the proper spiritual posture in total alignment with God, the man of God is tipping the scales already. You haven't even got to the pulpit yet. You haven't even got to a teaching class yet. You haven't even got into pastoral counseling yet. But the fact that you're already in alignment with the Holy Ghost, with the characteristics of the servant of the Lord, it already means that the Holy Ghost is able to move now. God doesn't have to deal with his servant. God can just keep on moving, and maybe they'll get a chance to repent. Maybe now they won't hear that certain tone that all around is negative to them, a certain look, a certain tone. But now when they hear the word of God, they're hungry for it. They're thirsting for it. They're saying, maybe I can get free. They that sat in darkness saw a great light. Some of you were here several years ago when we were here at camp meeting several years ago, and I was invited to speak, and I told the story about how that there was a transvestite that showed up at our church. Now that means it's a man that is dressing up and trying to be a woman. In fact, he had been the drag queen of Seattle 2 years in a row. I got a call about a half hour before I normally arrived, and one of our ushers said, Pastor, you got to hurry up and get here. There's a very strange person here. And about 15 minutes, I was already on the road, and he said, Pastor, where are you? He was sending out an SOS. When I finally walked in, this man came up, introduced himself with the squeakiest, most effeminate voice, and said, I want to be saved. I got and preached that night. I did not mention homosexuality one time. I did not mention abominations one time. I did not mention uncleanness one time. I mentioned to him, this is how you get from there to here. You've got to be born again by repenting of your sins and going down in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of that service, he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and came out of the water speaking in tongues. Clap your hands and give him praise. You go to war in the arena. The arena. Turn to somebody, shake their hand, and say, I'm going to war in the arena. I'm not going to mess with all this strife. I'm not going to worry about all this contention. I'm not going to worry about a bunch of stuff. It is a diversion from revival. It is a distraction from deliverance. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay dialed in. I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm going to find out what direction the flow is going. You may be seated. I'm almost done. Let's just praise him. Urabaya kutaya lababa hutaya lababaya. Urabasotaya lababa. I want to be a servant of the Lord. I'm prepared for battle. I'm the only one, the devil, God, and I are the only ones that know the stakes when I walk into that. The people that are bound, they don't have a clue. They don't even understand what's going on. It's my responsibility to modify myself so that God can move and God can deliver and God can maybe set free. And God, peradventure, might grant them repentance. And I was in a service a while back, and a guy got up and started taking pot shots. I've heard about people doing that, but I saw it, and I thought, man, what if there's somebody here that needs deliverance? I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm saying, God, whatever it takes, don't let me become like that. Don't let me take this pulpit. This is the vehicle of deliverance and the vehicle of eternal life and turn it into some personal thing. There's somebody that's crying on the inside saying, get me out of this. Set me free. Let me repent. Let me get loose. Clap your hands and give him the glory. Demo atayala bahakro bahaya. Yes. You may be seated. We were transitioning from our second storefront to our very first church building. Had a congregation of about 55. And the church had already taken a walkthrough on our new building. They were so excited. There was a particular day that we were taking up pledges. And the day came in the morning that we were taking up the pledges. There was a man whose family attended our church, and he called me up. And he basically blasted me out of the water, said, what you're doing is not right. We're not behind you. We're only going to your church because you're right down the street. A bunch of other things. It was as if somebody stuck that dagger right under the fifth rib. Took our offering. We took $20,000 over what we needed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Never mind the naysayers. You go ahead and do what God's telling you to do. That's exactly what the devil wants to do, is get a distraction going. We moved on and started a remodel on our new building, and man, it was just as if Something had begun to change in me. My preaching began to change. I'd see that guy back there with his family, and I'd forget all about that message that I thought God gave me. And I'd try to take a little bit of vengeance. I'm just trying to be transparent. I'm trying to help somebody today. That strife thing will affect your revival. My friend that used to be my brother in revival, he gave up his church, gave up his revival. That church doesn't even exist anymore because the strife turned into bitterness. And it got bad. It got really bad. It got where I was preaching, I was angry. You can't preach the goodness of God and be angry. I was mean, I was angry, I was frustrated. I didn't know what the problem was. We just got a new building, we're moving on. And then one day, it got so bad, I told my wife, I said, honey, take the kids home. I'm not leaving this church. And I got down and I started praying, and I finally broke through. And I said, God, you've got to get rid of this family, you've got to get rid of these people. I can't take it anymore. He said, leave those people alone. They're doing something for you that nothing else can do. It just meant I was going to have to get down and pray through. I'm going to say that again. It just meant that I was going to have to get down and not pray through just once, not just twice. I was going to have to wash that out. I was going to have to get the joy back. I was going to have to get the power back. I was going to have to get the passion back. I was going to have to get the vision back. I was going to have to... Somebody needs to hear me! You may be seated. Finally got it out. I know I got it out because the joy came back. You'll never get rid of bitterness unless you pray deeper than the roots. You have to go beneath the roots and then let that start washing out and water it with tears till it becomes soluble. And now you can pull it out. And now you can pull this one out. A bunch of dry surfaceness is never going to challenge strife and bitterness. You're going to have to get alone with God and say, I'm starting something new. This is not for anybody else. This is for right here. I got to do this for me. I got to be clean. I got to be anointed. I can tell the difference. I want to be anointed. You may be seated. Patched it all up. Everything was fine. We were in our new building. Shortly after we moved into the new building, God was going to test me to make sure the strife and the bitterness was gone. Got a call from a backslidden young lady. Says, is this Pastor Mayo? Yes. There's a man in your church that is openly soliciting to get together with me. Is that right? Yes. Who is it? She mentioned the man's name, and the devil said, you got him now. God said, don't even think about it. I never even thought about it.
I knew what was at stake. It wasn't just capping some coup and taking matters in my own hands. It was forfeiting an anointing, a revival, the call of God. I'd already been down that road once. I might not be perfect, but I learn as quick as I can. I'm not doing that again. So I called this individual in. I said, how you doing? sat down, had some pleasantries, and I called the I called a screen name. I said, "You know, da 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 da." He said, "No, I don't know who that is." You know, lying to the man of God's a big deal. I got Bible where some people died for doing that, lying to the Holy Ghost and having a man of God there. So I asked him again. I said, "You know who this is?" "No, I don't know who that is." So I pulled out a manila folder that was about an inch thick with emails that were too filthy to read. And I pulled it out and I handed it to him. I said, "Does this look familiar?" He put his head down and he started to weep. And he said, "Pastor, please don't destroy me and my family." I said, "I give you my word. I won't even mention this if you do this, this, and this." God wanted to know that you're done with that strife, bitterness, and stuff. Because over the course of the next 7 years, our church quadrupled. Clap your hands and give him praise. Once you get that spirit out and you can now enter into the arena, you watch, the visitors were coming in from everywhere because God can try. I've often wondered if the angels that come in Hebrews chapter 13 are wanting to hear that if God allows you to have visitors, will they get loose? Are they going to hear all of the bitterness and the strife that can't set nobody free? Bishop, our church quadrupled in 7 years. We went into that building with 60 people. When we moved out of that building, we had 250 people. The individual is still with us. Everything's great. We run together. We shout together. You want to know why? Because being a servant of the Lord and being used in the arena is more important than exacting some payback or some vengeance. Clap your hands and give God the praise. I'm not going to forfeit my revival. I'm not going to forfeit the promises. I'm not going to forfeit the prophecy. I'm not going to forfeit church growth. I'm not going to forfeit revival. Please stand. I'd like us all to slip on out of our pews and just come and gather around the front if we could. We're going to pray one for another. You may never know what that dear brother is struggling with that you're sitting next to today. You may never know what has taken root. You may never know the hateful bird that has tried to perch on him is now feeding him things about God's people and about his own self. When you get down here, lay your hand on the shoulder of a brother and let's begin to pray one for another. Lift your voice. Cry aloud and spare not. Oh God, wash us. I've got to be used in the arena. I've got to come back with a message of repentance and hope and salvation and deliverance. That's it. I rebuke every hateful bird. I rebuke every lying spirit. I rebuke strife. I rebuke contention. I rebuke envy. I rebuke hatred. I've got to be used in the arena. I've got to model myself after the Holy Ghost. That's it. Pray till something breaks. Pray till something breaks. Pray till something breaks. let's move in deeper. Some are already experiencing a level of change. Take it all the way. See it all the way. Take it all the way to the roots. Take it all the way out. Pull it out. I've listened to your lies as long as I shall. I'm going to get free. I'm going to get cleansed. I'm going to be anointed. I am going to move out of this. You don't need to lose your marriage. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You're right on the cusp of about to lose your marriage. You ain't got to do that. What you need to do is dig your heels in and say, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to live the life. I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm going to turn this thing around.
We've heard from the Lord today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit and anointing today, Lord. Thank you for opening your heart. I'll tell you what, we don't just flip coins trying to decide who to get to preach. Pray and seek God. We definitely felt led to ask Brother Mayo to preach to us today. We love you, Brother Mayo. Thank you for obeying the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, brothers, if there's anything I can't stand, it's when somebody gets in this pulpit and just zeroes in on one brother. You're not going to do it here. I mean, you may do it one time, but no more. You may preach your sermon. If it hits us or hits somebody, great. But just because you got a personal grudge, you are so wrong. You are so messed up. You have no business in the pulpit. Amen. Remember one time I preached a message, don't get in a dog fight. Don't get in a dog fight. Don't make any sense. World's dying and going to hell. Amen. Help us, God, today. Thank you, Brother Mayo. Thank you, Brother Mayo, for reminding me not to get no kind of dogfight. Oh, God, help us today, Lord. Keep our spirit pure and clean and holy. I want to be right with God. You know what he preached to us today? He preached to us the keys to having a revival. Amen. Hallelujah. The keys to having revival is just keep on loving God. Keep your spirit right. There's going to people leave your church. There's going to people do all kind of craziness. Amen. And it's nothing but the devil to try to throw you off track. Because there's a whole world out there to save. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness, his faithfulness. Thank the Lord. Amen. I think they found my picture. So you look and see what God can do. His wife is actually preaching to the ladies out in front today. And there, one time, Brother Mayo, it sounded like she was getting more anointed than yours. Sorry, brother. A great singer, he's still a great musician. He still forgot how to play that guitar. like Brother Ballinger. He's playing for Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for Brother Mayo. Open his heart. Come on, let's thank God for a man of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I got one other thing. The lunch is ready, but I don't know. Can you roll the prayers? People that's come to prayer meeting, can you do that? It'll take just a minute. Amen. Back several years ago, we got serious about the church becoming the house of prayer. You know, we quit taking it figuratively and we took it literal. Amen. Well, hallelujah. We also take tithes literal too, not figuratively. And we thought it meant that. And we thought it meant about this prayer. These are prayers answered. We just got these new LED screens. But where's the name of people that's come to prayer? And here they come. Amen. Well, you know what? It's been a blessing. Because you know what the Bible said? Provoke one another to good works. Now, what do you think happens when somebody comes here and sees someone there? Hallelujah. Well, that's what it's all about, is to get them to come to the house of prayer. Amen. Well, the Lord has blessed me with a great brother and friend I love dearly, Brother Brent Long. Come here. This man has been highly used of the Lord to help us. This has taken months to put all together. It's where people can come in and register, change their address, see events, send letters or notes, whatever. And he's the mastermind behind it. I'm embarrassing a little bit, but when he was in the fifth grade, his mother was going to college computer science, having trouble figuring it out. Guess what? He got the book and helped her do her lessons when he was in the fifth grade. He's never been to college. He's worked for huge, still working for a big bank now and corporations. He did SeaWorld's kiosks and all for them. But just to give you a little background, and I've asked him to do this because it's been such a blessing. So he's put together a complete program if you're interested for your church. It's a very small amount. It's all about the work of God. I'll tell you something else I'll share with you. If you haven't gone to Textgiving, somebody said, it kind of sounds like the Antichrist, doesn't it? I figure when they started writing those checks, probably those old-time preachers said, don't be putting them checks in here. We want that green stuff. But, you know, I had a very wise father-in-law. I was preaching against all kinds of stuff, internet, everything. He said, now, son, let me tell you, this technology is fixing to come up over you like a wave. You think you're going to keep all this out? You ain't going to keep it out. It's going to get, I didn't believe him when he said it. But you know what? He had already read into the future. He saw it coming and it's happened. Then I was preaching one night and God spoke to me why he allowed him to invent the internet. Because he wanted you to have it in your hand. He's going to purge his church with these things right here. You get on it, you can get in your bedroom, look at anything you want to, but I'm going to tell you there's a God, all-seeing-eye God, looking at you. No longer can we say, don't get video, don't get internet, don't get television. You got it all right here. If you want the junk, you can have the junk. But thank God for a church that's going to stand flat-footed, say we're not going to do it. Amen. So I just want to take a minute here and let him share about it. And then there's some handouts if you're interested. Well, he didn't even have to come to your place. He can set it up and help you with it. Okay. Anyway, you get a good something, a blessing, and blessing your people. Now, here, let me tell y'all something else. They said, well, we're going to keep these screens over here on the side. We used to have screens. There's holes over at the wall. We took them down. They were about this big. They were doing all that. I said, no, I won't get their names up there. I won't get their names bigger than that. Because, you know, there's flesh in all of us. Brother Bird told me something else. Said, son, don't ever forget it. There's clay in everybody's feet. And there's a little something I like to deal with if I can use it for God, and it's called ego. You come in there and see your name on that screen. That'd have to be a pretty good feeling. Well, y'all, I'm a little too carnal for you spiritual ones. I can see that now. But I don't care what I have to do to get people in here to pray. I'm going to do my best to get them in this church to pray. God bless you. We love you. Brother Brent Long's here. He'll be here tomorrow. Amen. And we love you so much, Brother Long. Thank you for all you've done for the kingdom of God. Amen. For a while, he worked at headquarters, UPC headquarters. And he left there and moved here. And then he moved off again, left me. Dallas. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Ushers have some handbills to hand out or some information further if you're interested. Let me know. He'll help you. I promise you. It's amazing what happened around here. I don't know. We've had thousands of people come to prayer meeting every week. In the last 10 years, he said we've had 780,000 people come to prayer meeting. Hallelujah. So, it'll work. Love y'all. God bless you. Sorry, there's food over. Let's go. They're waiting on us. They got it ready. They're going to just hand you a kind of like a to-go box. Open it up. It'll be something to hold you over till this afternoon. You can go to Corral. You can eat till you pass out over there.